When President Trump called for an end to HIV/AIDS in his State of the Union address, he didn't mention one of the most effective tools being used to do that. It's called PrEP, and it's a drug that people can take to prevent contracting HIV. In the U.S., the drug name is Truvada, made by Gilead Sciences. And our next guest wants the National Institutes of Health to break the patent on Truvada so it will be cheaper. He's Corey Johnson, the Speaker of the New York City Council, and he is HIV positive himself. Corey Johnson, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So first of all, what is the case that you and others are making for why the government should and would legally be able to break the patent that exists on Truvada?
Well, for folks that don't know, Truvada, which is otherwise commonly referred to as PrEP, is an important medicine that helps prevent people from getting HIV. And I'm one of a few, I think there's only six of us in the entire country, openly HIV positive elected officials. And so there has been a coalition of activists who have been advocating for breaking this patent that Gilead has right now, the company that has manufactured PrEP, and saying that the NIH should march in, which is a technical term, and actually break the patent. And the case that's being made is that this was publicly funded research by the NIH. And in other countries around the world, Truvada costs about $100 a year for a patient. In the United States, it's almost $20,000 a year for the same exact medicine. And Truvada prevents HIV almost up to 99% of the time. And so the case we're making is that given that American taxpayers and the NIH have funded this research, the patent should be broken so that more people can get access to it to prevent anyone from becoming HIV positive.
Is there precedent that you're looking to where the NIH has done this in the past for another drug?
Sadly, no. The NIH has the ability to do this. They have never before used their march-in rights. And the march-in rights come from a law passed by Congress called the Bayh-Dole Act in 1980, which allows these patents to be broken in certain cases that involve research that resulted from federal funds. Given how broken I believe our healthcare system is nationally, I'm not entirely optimistic, but there's a first time for everything. And I think in this instance, it's important. President Trump, I don't think he's done much for the LGBT community, but he did say in his State of the Union address a couple of weeks ago that he wanted to end the AIDS epidemic in the United States of America, and this could be a good way to start down that path.
Why is there a cheaper version available in other countries but not here?
Because in other countries where the healthcare system is different and where big pharmaceutical companies aren't able to inflate the cost of drugs, people can get this at an affordable price or generic versions of the drug. In the United States, the U.S. government doesn't regulate the prices of these drugs and bring them down to what the cost is, which is why you see Americans, whether they're someone that has diabetes or needs to take PrEP or has cancer, the price of the medication they need could be wildly expensive. And that's why I think we need to break the patent in this instance.
You've noted that only 8% of the people who should be using PrEP in the United States to prevent HIV are using it. Is that because of cost or lack of access or lack of awareness or what?
I think it's all of those things. I don't think cost is the only factor. Most of that 8% of folks who are using it are white, gay or bisexual men. And some of the highest infection rates that we're seeing now are women, women of color, men who have sex with men who are people of color, African Americans and Latinos, transgender Americans, IV drug users. And so you have barriers to access coupled with the cost and coupled with other healthcare factors that certain populations deal with every single day.
The rate of HIV transmission in New York City was at an all-time low in 2017. How much of that do you think is related to people taking Truvada?
I think PrEP is an important variable in that number. One of the things I'm really proud of is before I was Speaker of the Council, I was chair of the Health Committee in the City Council. And over the last 6 years, we've gotten New York City and New York State both to put in tens of millions of new dollars on preventing people from being infected. That just hasn't included greater access to Truvada and to PrEP. It's included a whole host of things in making sure that people who currently are HIV positive remain undetectable so they can't pass along HIV to anyone else. The number that you cited, it shows the lowest infection rate from 2 years ago that's ever been recorded since the start of the epidemic. We know what to do to prevent people from getting HIV.
What has the drug maker Gilead said to you about your idea?
Well, Gilead, of course, has been resistant to this. They have said that they have discount programs. They help people who don't currently have insurance or have insurance that may not cover it to be able to get it at a more affordable rate. And that's well and good for certain people, but that doesn't open up the doors and the windows for access to all of the folks that really, really need it. Just for me, this is personal. You know, I seroconverted when I was 22 years old. I'm 36 years old now, and I lost my health insurance afterwards. Truvada and PrEP was not around. And I feel like I'm doing this, and all the activists are doing this really on the shoulders of all of those that came before us. People who are part of ACT UP and Queer Nation, people that shut down the New York Stock Exchange in the 1980s and 1990s and marched and put their lives and bodies on the line at the height of the AIDS epidemic. AIDS isn't on the front page of newspapers anymore, but it is still an epidemic in the United States.
What is it like right now for you? I've seen you described as the most high-profile HIV-positive politician in the country. What is it like to be in that position right now?
You know, it's really kind of crazy because in 2004, as I said, when I found out I was HIV positive, I was despondent. I was depressed. I was ashamed. I wasn't sure I could ever talk about this. And to go from that moment as a scared and vulnerable and isolated 22-year-old to now being the Speaker of the New York City Council and one of the highest ranking elected officials in the country who is openly HIV positive, it's sort of amazing, my own journey. And at the same time, I see it as a real responsibility to fight for others who may not have this position of influence to ensure that everyone gets access to the care that they need. And we're coming up on the 50th anniversary of Stonewall in June of this year. And I feel like so much of my ability to run for office and to be Speaker of the City Council and to do it as an openly gay, openly HIV positive man is really because of all of the activists that came before me, many people who I don't know. And so I really do this on their shoulders and in their names, continuing to fight for LGBT people and vulnerable people as all of the activists did before I ever even realized I was gay, which allowed me to run for office and be in this position today.
We've been talking about the pharmaceutical aspect of fighting HIV/AIDS. What about the stigma issue? How big of an issue is that in preventing the nation, the world, from ending, eliminating HIV and AIDS?
Well, it's clearly a big issue, but also there are some, I guess, interesting things that we know now because of Truvada and PrEP, which is if you're on Truvada and PrEP, again, you 99% chance you're not going to become infected. And if you're someone who's HIV positive like myself and who takes medicine every single day, I'm what's called undetectable, which means I can't transmit HIV to another person. Because of those two things, it has become easier for folks to actually talk about being HIV positive. The vast majority, not all, but many, many of the new infections that occur are people that don't know they're HIV positive. They don't know what their status is because they haven't gotten tested. And then because they don't know it, they end up transmitting HIV to someone else. And so it's really, really important to talk about HIV, talk about being HIV positive yourself. You know, again, I could couldn't have imagined that 15 years ago, when I found out that I was HIV positive, that I would be on a radio show talking about my status. And it shows the importance of breaking down the stigma so that there isn't shame and fear associated with this, because that's what contributes to this epidemic, and it's what has contributed to the epidemic from the very early days of it.
I want to ask you one more thing. You mentioned President Trump, and he called in the State of the Union for an end to HIV in 10 years. What do you think about that, and do you have any faith that this effort will work?
I mean, it was interesting to watch the State of the Union and to hear him say those words, because over the last 2 years, his administration has been one that has sought to cut funding at the federal level for all sorts of medical research. A lot of the folks that he's appointed to key positions in his administration are vocal opponents of LGBT rights and people. And so it was nice to hear it, but words, I guess, don't really matter at this point. It's really about actually actions and doing the right thing. And I think those of us who work on these issues would really love to see leadership at the federal level, but I'm really skeptical at this point.
That is Corey Johnson, who is the Speaker of the New York City Council. Speaker, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And your thoughts welcome at hereandnow.org.